WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center. And always on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Dave Packer. Cardinals and the faithful gathering in St. Peter's Square today to pray for Pope Francis. The Vatican saying the 88-year-old Pope remains in critical condition after suffering a prolonged asthmatic respiratory crisis over the weekend. ABC's Marcus Moore in Vatican City.
Doctors said the Pope showed slight signs of decreased kidney function, but insists it's under control as he battles pneumonia in both lungs. The Vatican saying he's responding well to treatments.
Today marking 3 years since Russia's invasion of Ukraine.
There have been large-scale rallies across Europe expressing solidarity with Ukraine. In Paris, the Eiffel Tower lit up in the colors of the Ukrainian flag, highlighting, I think, the very real differences now between the U.S. and its allies on the war.
ABC's Ian Pannell. A controversial U.S.-drafted resolution that does not call out Russian aggression, adopted today by the United Nations Security Council. Right-wing podcaster Dan Bongino named by President Trump as the new deputy FBI director. This is ABC News.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
The Bucks beat the Heat. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Bucks were down by 10 at the half, but came back strong in the fourth quarter, defeating the Miami Heat 120-113. Giannis and Damian Lillard were limited, but that opened the door for players like Kyle Kuzma and Kevin Porter Jr., known as Kuz and Scoot. Doc Rivers.
I think Scoot scored a couple of times, then Kuz gets a rebound, breaks out, creates a basket, then Scoot goes back to it. Just gives us a lot of speed, and we try to make sure we have one roller, and I think it's a good fit.
The Bucks head to Houston to play the Rockets tomorrow night. College hoops. The Badgers now 21-6 after losing to Oregon in overtime Saturday. They host Washington 8 p.m. tomorrow night at the Kohl Center. Marquette is at home tomorrow night against Providence. The Golden Eagles have lost four of their last six games. And the Milwaukee Panthers losing to Robert Morris 72-59. Robert Morris in first place in the Horizon League. The Panthers dropped to fifth. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Max Inc. on Civic Media with Mike and Wendy from Sunspot. Can you imagine the mosh pit on the bridge that could happen?
Oh, well, that's how the original series was when they moved the camera. Whenever it's like the red alert. The,
right.
Yeah. That was the mosh pit.
Yeah. And everybody had to like fake like.
Right. Yeah, lean left. Great. Lean right.
Yeah.
Join us for all the fun with Max Inc. on Saturday nights, 6 to midnight, across the Civic Media Radio Network and on the Civic Media app.
You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
It's time for the Rick Smith Show. Now, here is the voice of the working class, Rick Smith.
And welcome, brothers, sisters, working class heroes. This is the Rick Smith Show. Thanks so much for being here today on the big program. Lots to get to. Lots to talk about. Little fun. Remember the whole, we just want government to run like a business. We just want government to run like a business because we want business people to run government. And we've had that. And for about a month now, people are going, not working. Over the weekend, you had Elon Musk, the X guy, the Twitter guy, the Doge boy. You had him, and what I can only think is one of the most impulsive things. Sent out an email, a tweet, saying that, hey, you government employees, my worker bees, the workers who make my business successful, all of you. On your weekend, I want you to get me 5 bullet points of things you've accomplished last week, and do it by the end of the day, or you're all fired. Now that's not what the email said, but in his tweet, in his social media post, that's what it was. Consistent with President Trump's instructions, he tweeted, all federal employees will shortly receive an email requesting to understand what they've done last week. Failure to respond will be taken as a resignation. Now, understand, the business part of this is we're just trying to help you to be a better employee, help you to do your job better, help you to see where your shortcomings are. Now, my mind went, well, what did Elon do this past week? Well, one of the things I remember on his list he could put down is he fired a bunch of people who, you know, the folks who take care of our nuclear weapons. He fired them and then, well, didn't know how to get in touch with them after he fired them when he realized, oh, crud, we need them. He gave confidential documents and people access to confidential documents like Social Security and tax information to teenagers, to a bunch of teenagers who don't really even know how to read the data and haven't, you know, gotten through any security, haven't done any, oh, I don't know, background checks. Nobody even knows who they are. I guess, you know, the one guy, his name is Big Balls. You know, because I guess he holds dances, maybe. But yeah, he's evidently going to have all of your Social Security information, all your tax information. Bunch of kids. And what could go wrong there? What could go wrong there? Except we get these memes like, well, you know, there's someone who's been collecting Social Security since 1874. And so I had to think about this. Where'd they pull 1874 out of? I at first assumed they just reached around behind to the dark side of the moon and popped out a nugget. But no, it turns out Ida Mae Fuller was born in 1874. Ida Mae Fuller was the very first recipient of Social Security, for those who don't know. She passed away in 1975. Now, what they want you to believe is that from 1975 till now, she's been collecting that $24 a month. That's what they want you to believe. But as any funeral director will tell you, you got to fill out a form that this person's dead. And I remember when my grandparents passed, they come for that last check. They know when that person passed, and you better not have cashed it, or that's a problem. But again, we're not allowed. The meme doesn't meet the reality. Nope. Also, you know, Elon spent a lot of time saying, you know, how much fraud he's been finding, how much money we've been saving, been telling the boss, been telling the general public. In fact, got the general public thinking that, hey, there's cash in this. They're digging for gold. And we're all going to get $5,000. We're going to all get $5,000. We just have to fire all those workers. Wow. And look, you know, I guess he did cut off foreign aid, so we're going to deplete the surplus population because there's going to be a lot of people who die because we're not feeding them. We're not getting them medicines. Yeah, you know, hey, and that's right there. That is Elon's. Those are Elon's accomplishments. And for him, that's good. That's what he wants. That's what he wants from all federal employees. Because again, it's not about servicing we the people. It's not about doing what's in the best interest of this country. It's about doing what's in the best interest of Dear Leader. And Dear Leader being Musk first, Trump second. And the question I have to come back to is this what you voted for? Is this what you wanted? Because the treatment of federal employees right now, understand this, what you're seeing happen to federal employees, you can cheer it. Good for them. They're lazy. Whatever you want to say. You're next. This stuff trickles down. We have business government right now. CEOs are running the country. And understand, hedge fund managers, they're worrying that it's going to crash the economy. That's not good for hedge fund managers. Hedge fund managers voted for Trump because they wanted tax breaks. They didn't want you to crash the economy. They didn't want you to gut all of government spending because most business is propped up by, that's right, investments by our government. For instance, windmills. The wind industry is freaking losing their mind, and in red states. But hey, we're going to get $5,000. We're going to get a check for $5,000 each. We can, you know, call it our misery porn money. We can, you know, call it whatever you want. Doggy style money. I don't know. But I know it's telling you. I know what's happening. Working people are going to get the shaft. As they always do. When you put people like Doge Boy and Trump in charge. They don't care about you. They don't care about me. They don't care about we, the working people. They care about themselves. When we come back, Phil Glover from AFGE is going to share some thoughts on what's going on to his members and how they're fighting back, after this.
We are AFGE, the American Federation of Government Employees. We represent 700,000 federal and D.C. government workers who are the vital threads of the fabric of American life. We support our nation's military. We take care of our nation's veterans. We protect our nation's borders. We respond to our nation's crises and natural disasters. We provide services to our nation's seniors. The American Federation of Government Employees. We work for America.
We are AFGE, the American Federation of Government Employees. We represent 700,000 federal and D.C. government workers who are the vital threads of the fabric of American life. We support our nation's military. We take care of our nation's veterans. We protect our nation's borders. We respond to our nation's crises and natural disasters. We provide services to our nation's seniors. The American Federation of Government Employees. We work for America.
Welcome back to the Rick Smith Show. Now, here is Rick Smith.
So our quote of the day comes from Trump's director of office, the Office of Management and Budget, OMB. Russ Vought. I don't know. I've heard it's pronounced a bunch of different ways. But anyway, in a private speech he gave back in 2023, talking of government workers, he says, we want the bureaucrats to be traumatically affected. When they wake up in the morning, he says, we want them to not want to go to work. Now, remember, he's talking about the people who are going to work every day doing your work, making sure that Granny gets her Social Security, making sure that people with disabilities get the care that they need, making sure that Medicare and Medicaid and all of these things, making sure we've got clean air and water. And just go down the list. These are the folks he wants miserable. And again, as I started off, is this the kind of work environment that you want? Because this stuff, this trickles down. Here to share some thoughts on this kind of mentality for his members, I've asked my good friend Phil Glover to come share some thoughts for us. Phil is Vice President of District 3 AFGE, the American Federation of Government Employees. Phil, thanks for taking time for us.
Appreciate it, Rick. Always happy to be here.
So, whatever his name is, OMB guy, wants your people miserable, wants them traumatically affected, so they don't want to go to work for us, Phil.
Yeah, it's kind of a strange way to run a workforce, isn't it? I mean, this is what you don't want. You want employees motivated to come in every day to the office or to their work site and take care of the people, whether it's a business or whether it's government, to take care of the people that need the help. And that's what we're supposed to be doing. But these people have a completely upside down view of how to motivate employees.
Now, what's interesting to me is I've seen a number of articles that this guy has been very clear and open. He wants to burn government to the ground. And you go, well, what does that look like? It looks like exactly what Trump is doing.
Well, it certainly looks like what President Musk is doing. I don't know what Trump's doing. I think he's sitting in his desk, you know, to the side while Mr. Musk does his press conferences from the Oval. So, you know, we don't know who's in charge. It doesn't appear Trump's doing it now. It appears Musk is doing it. The emails that we're getting from federal, from the Office of Personnel Management are coming out of Musk's team, not the government's team. So who knows who's running this show?
Yeah, now
we're going down the Twitter thing.
Yeah, well, you brought up Musk, and what's interesting is Musk had had an email that went out to all 2.3 million government employees over the weekend, and something along the line of coming up with five bullet points detailing their accomplishments for the week. And as I said at the beginning, you know, these are, tell us what you did to withhold Social Security from Granny or make sure that person with disability doesn't get benefits or, you know, how did you loosen regulations enough for corporate America to profit? Because this is the business mentality of business friendly union or business friendly government.
Yeah, it's this came out on Saturday. So again, federal workers will work Monday through Friday or work, 4 days a week on 10-hour shifts or 12 hours. You know, we have various schedules in the government. And this thing comes out on Saturday afternoon or whatever, claiming all it said was HR OPM, and it wasn't signed, didn't have any identifiers on it, just came out to all the employees through this new email that he's created, and asking them that by 11:59 p.m. on Monday, no accounting for people on leave or people on sick leave or, you know, family leave or whatever, by the afternoon or by that evening, to have a 5-bullet email in on what they did last week in government. And I'm like, wow, we do a lot of things. Yeah. This was on a Saturday, and our people, federal employees are very responsive to things. And I started getting phone calls right after it went out asking, what is this and what do we do? It is not normal. The agencies supervise employees, not OPM. The Office of Management and Budget and the Office of Personal Management, they don't supervise individual employees except in their own little agency.
Right.
The rest are supervised at the agency levels. So we were like, what is this? This is just a new twist that Mr. Musk and Trump and Vote have come up with.
Well, I mean, it's one of those things where what did you do last week, Elon? How much damage, how much pain and suffering did you cause last week? What justify your position? And, the sad reality is everything that he's done has been, at least in my view, extraordinarily negative. But what do you say to the person who goes, well, in my job, I have to justify what I do. Why is this a bad thing?
Yeah, well, we're trying to explain to the public and people like on social media that this isn't hard. You send in 5 things. The problem is this isn't how, number one, we deal with a lot of things in the federal government that are Privacy Act information. We deal with veterans and their cases. We deal with patients in the Bureau of Prisons. We have security on inmates. We don't put that stuff out to the public. Like, this isn't stuff that that is within the agency to look at and determine whether we're doing our jobs or not.
Right.
We don't put that stuff out to other places. That's why you have agency management. President of the United States just went around and picked, and the Senate of the United States confirmed secretaries and commissioners all over the government. They are the ones that supervise the employees, not a billionaire, not Mr. Musk from whatever perch he's got today, demanding answers. That's for the secretaries to do.
No, it's one of these things that it's just weird. And it seemed like it was kind of off the cuff, because you do something on a Saturday afternoon, that seems like a whim. That doesn't seem like an actual policy. And it seems like, hey, this could be an easy way to stir up trouble. If you don't respond within 15 minutes, we're firing everybody. It seems kind of, it seems like kind of drug induced in my view, because I'm looking at this, I'm going, this seems like one of those, you're all hopped up on something. It seems impulsive.
You mean ketamine or Adderall?
Or whatever.
We've heard some of that. I would just say this, that it's even beyond that, because in his tweet or his ex comment, whatever, he says, if they don't respond by then, we'll consider that you have resigned.
Right.
But in the email itself, it doesn't say that. So it's contradictory there. Again, OPM has no authority to lay anybody off or to dismiss anyone. That they don't run the agencies. So, and what's happening right now, and this is, I guess, an exclusive for you, is the Department of Defense has sent back to their employees, don't fill this out. We will coordinate any response with OPM. HHS has just sent the same thing. There's several of these agencies that have just said, wait a minute, we will. And even Kash Patel, the new FBI director, sent out right away, we evaluate our agents, not OPM, and so don't answer this email.
So
it's starting to permeate. Yeah, it's starting to permeate across the government here.
So what you're starting to see is you're starting to see them. You're starting to see the cracks, then, is what you're telling me.
Exactly. The secretaries that were, you know, appointed by Trump, passed by the Senate, even those on with a 51 margin, you know, 51-49 margin, they're now in charge of those agencies. And I think, you know, they're going to get to the point where they're saying, hey, this is my job. What are you doing getting into my agency? I think that's where we are starting to see at this point, which is good in a way. Yeah. I mean, I don't particularly trust most of these people that were selected, but
none of them,
you know.
No, I protect none of them. But, you know, I got this image in my head, though, Phil, of you got Cash Patel, you got RFK Jr., you got all these people running back to daddy going, it's kind of like a children thing. I got this just this vision in my head of everyone running back to Trump going, look what he did. It's just this sad to me. I guess that's where I'm trying to find something humorous out of this, because this is just bad.
It's all you can do is you have to find some humor, Rick, where you can, because if not, every single day something is coming out to harm employees. And these people don't, you know, I wrote this the other day on a post to my members and to my local leaders. These people don't deserve this. They put in for these jobs willingly wanting to help in those agencies, Social Security, VA, prisons, wherever, USDA, you name it, meat inspection. Meat inspection is a tough job. I mean, I had never thought about it as much as when I sat down with some of those people and listened to how those production facilities run. And they got to stand on that floor with the production people. It is a bloody tough job. And they do that to protect the public from bad things in their food.
Yep.
You know, prison workers make sure that inmates don't crawl over the fence and get into your home at night. You know, I mean, there are things, and I'm not saying all the inmates would do that, but we have some bad apples in there. And they stand on that line, you know. This is just, I have never seen anything like this. I've been in government for 34 years. I have never seen anything like this. It's disgusting. And I hope the public starts to really pay some attention, because when their checks don't go out, or you have less people to process their VA disability, all the different things, they're going to be screaming. I want them to point their finger at the guy that did this, not the federal workers that are being cut.
Yeah,
because that's what's going to happen.
No, and ultimately it's Donald Trump. You say Musk, and look, Musk is running things. Trump has abdicated his role. He's given the reins over for whatever reason, for profit, for convenience, whatever, or just to troll, whatever. But, you know, this all ends up on the lap of Trump and the Republican Party, especially the Republicans in Congress, who have done nothing to stop this. And the sad reality is we're seeing warnings from people who have worked in government in the past, maybe not even friends of government in the past, who are worried that all of these terminations, all of the buyouts and the uncertainty that's going on is causing an erosion of expertise. The people who we need in critical roles at critical times aren't going to be there. And I go back to, you know, one of the things that Musk did do, you know, fire a bunch of people who were, you know, who worry about our nuclear stockpile, and then, you know, couldn't find where they were to hire them back.
Yeah. I mean, I was told, you know, these are anecdotal from different agencies, but I was told they fired a bunch of these, people in the Park Service, National Parks. And two of them that they fired were the only two people qualified to do bridge inspections for pedestrians and traffic around the national park areas on bridges. And they had to find them. They, over the weekend, they fired them on a Friday, and they figured out what they did because of these blast emails to fire these people. And then they had to go find them. We had Steamtown, up in Northeast PA, Congressman Bresnahan, PA-8, was supposed to have an event on Monday during a holiday there. They had fired three of the maintenance guys. They couldn't run the event. They had to cancel it because they had fired these three probate. Well, they fired five, but three of them were critical to whatever it was they were going to do on that Monday. They had to cancel the event. He was not a happy congressman. And maybe that's what's going to happen more. That's what's going to have to happen to where they start to figure out that what's happening from the White House is not the way to do run government. Yeah. It's not the way to run government. You know, Congress has a right to have hearings, to do oversight of agencies and funds and programs. Republicans are in charge. Have some hearings. Call us in. Ask us what's going on in the government and why this is being spent or that's being spent. And have the secretaries and directors answer those questions. Not this. This is not right.
Well, this is chaos for chaos' sake, to make it, to put on this big show in production, to feed the base, the misery porn that the base demands. But also, this is about a major distraction. And while we're fighting this battle over here, we don't really know what they're doing yet behind the curtain. Well, how much is being pilfered? How many regulations are being gutted? How many things that are, well, going to benefit Musk and his clan over the rest of us? So for me, as I've been saying, I think Democrats need to just leave Washington altogether, going, look, they've got all the control. They can pass whatever they want. They can do whatever they want. We can't stop them. And get out in the districts, hold hearings, and expose the misery that these folks are causing.
I love that idea. And I think I'm going to steal it from you and put that in some people's ears. I know on Monday, for instance, at 11 o'clock, Brendan Boyle's having a press conference in front of Independence Park to talk about the firing of the Park Service employees and some of this other nonsense that's going on. So he's getting out there, and hopefully we can get some others to do the same thing.
Yeah, I mean, there's nothing you're going to do in Washington. We can put forth some model bills. And look, you got to have that. You got to have a message. You got to have a better way of getting the word out. You've got to have a vision for when you regain the reins, because eventually they will. The pendulum will swing. And then you've got to have that thing that's going to get people to go, yeah, Trump was an a-hole, but what are you going to do for me? And this is what I think Democrats have fallen down on over the last 20, 30 years, is what are you going to do? Are you going to raise minimum wage? Are you going to give us the ability to join and form unions easier? You're going to, I don't know, bring down the price of eggs, which have never, never been higher.
Yeah. Well, that's a tough one, I guess. And then when you fire the people that are trying to track down and control avian flu over a weekend, again, they've been doing all these firings like on Friday. And by Monday, they figure out, we fired the wrong people. We got to find them. So the USDA... you know, they have scientists and inspectors and all kind of people that are working on this avian flu issue to try to get it under control. And they fired a whole bunch of them. And so the public's like, why is the price of eggs going up? Well, it's going to go up more. Because if they can't get hold of this, it's going to go up more.
Well, the price of everything's going to go up. Look, when hedge fund managers are going, wait a second, this isn't what we wanted. We just wanted tax cuts. We didn't want you to revamp the entire nation in some bizarre ideological right-wing wet dream. We just wanted tax cuts. And this is where I think Steve Bannon is right. As much as I hate to admit that, I think the oligarchs will at some point turn on him and turn on Musk. And this, for me, is an opportunity. Again, the solutions will come out of the suffering due to their savagery. This will be the moment that we as working people go, you know, maybe having someone with the kind of wealth like Musk has, maybe that's something we shouldn't have in this country. And maybe we need to tax them out of existence like they did during the FDR years. Because remember, to get to FDR, we had to go through Hoover and McKinley and the whole robber baron era. Maybe we are right back there.
No, I think we're there. If you think about what is being said on Capitol Hill with the reconciliation bill, and you listen to these members talk about everybody wants these tax cuts. Everybody. No, not everybody. And not everybody's going to get them. It seems that Trump's, you know, campaign promises to eliminate taxes on tips,
overtime,
Social Security, that's not in the bill. The only thing in the bill is for the richy people. And so, you know, and they want to cut $880 billion out of Medicaid. So people who are on Medicaid, number one, Medicaid funds a lot of nursing home care, all these kind of things. When people get into those age brackets, and I'm going to tell you, when your family starts getting kicked out of their home, out of the nursing facility, or the nursing facility closes because they can't afford to stay open and keep nurses and doctors and CNAs and others, then there's going to be some screaming. And these Republican congressmen, I think they're starting to feel a little bit of the pressure because they're starting to hedge. You saw the thing from the Hispanic Republican caucus. They sent a letter to the speaker. Hey, 35% of Hispanics use Medicaid. They're starting to become this thing. So I guess we'll see. Yeah. But, we can only hope that they figure it out.
Before there is too much pain and suffering. But, Phil, as always, I appreciate the work you guys do. Keep it up. I hope you'll come back and share as more of this, well, nonsense continues. Thanks so much.
It is nonsense. Thanks, Rick.
Phil Glover, Vice President of AFGE District 3. I want to hear your thoughts. Email me, Rick at therickSmithShow.com. You ready? You ready to get the pitchforks yet? Are you happy with the business government we've got? I want to hear it. Rick at therickSmithShow.com. Right back.
News from the Center, WRCE. Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Mostly cloudy tonight, maybe a stray sprinkle or shower, and a low in the low 30s. Partly sunny and staying mild for tomorrow, high upper 40s. Another rain chance Tuesday night and Wednesday. Temps will stay much above average through the rest of the week.
It's 39 right now.
Earl Ingram.
The one and only Professor Bob Harvey has graced the airlines with us. Let's go to Vincent.
With this new administration, African-American history is under assault. To Professor Harvey, how important are we, is it to, for us to fight back, not only for Black History Month, but throughout the year?
African-American history is not going anywhere. Start digging into history. You find out that long before the Mayflower, Blacks were already here.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 to 10 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
You're listening to The Rick Smith Show, where working people come to talk.
Here's a real shocker. Evidently, according to The Washington Post, the week after Trump took over the Kennedy Center, when I guess he's now Grand Poobah, the Kennedy Center, whatever, fired everybody else, he's now in charge. Evidently, ticket sales dropped by 50%. First week, shocking. Because, hey, you know, who wants to see, you know, actual entertainers? Who wants to actually see accomplished operations? You know, musicians who when you could get, you know, the January 6th criminals and their prison quartet. Shocking that no one would want to pay to see that nonsense. Anyway, here to share some thoughts on, well, where we are and the fun, the entertainment, as the dumpster burns. I've asked our good friend Sarah Burris to come share some thoughts with us. Sarah's a reporter at Raw Story, rawstory.com, the website. Sarah, thanks for taking time for us.
Hey, how the heck are you?
So shocking that the Kennedy Center ticket prices have plummeted 50% in the week after. I would think probably more as the lineup of, you know, the January 6th criminals, you know, quartet and what other, you know, what were those two girls who were, you know, waving the flag and marching with the flag underwear, whatever they were singing, this, you know, the Dear Leader song. I don't think people want to pay for that.
No, especially this area of the country. The problem is that, you know, you have Washington, D.C., which voted 90% for Kamala Harris, and you know, you've got the Maryland and Northern Virginia area. So who's going to come and see those shows? Those people. So if you take over the Kennedy Center and decide to make it your own special, you know, TV show or special, whatever, your own little Lawrence Welk hour, then nobody else is going to want to go.
Oh, God, that just put an image in my head. The MAGA Welk show, like a Lawrence Welk version of MAGA. Oh, actually, now that I'm thinking about it, maybe we should be doing that. You know, maybe we need that. Maybe give them a little entertainment. Maybe a little reflection of who they are, and maybe even they'll be repulsed by themselves.
I think the problem is that, you know, you can't keep the Kennedy Center alive without ticket sales and without, you know, donations and all of that. So I don't know if his plan is to try and bankrupt the Kennedy Center and then buy it. I don't really know.
There's an idea, you know, devalue it to the point to where it has to be sold off for pennies on the dollar. Maybe turn it into a hotel.
God help us.
But we do find out that Trump's spending a lot of effort and a lot of time monetizing his merch to fund his agenda. Evidently, you know, they're selling the Make Greenland Great Again gear, the Gulf of America stuff, and the Doge T-shirts, the doggy style T-shirts, and evidently Dark MAGA is now a thing.
Yeah, and all of it, I think you can get in a cozy form as well for your beer. Or soda of choice. What else is there? There's all kinds of, like, I mean, there's definitely t-shirts and gear, but there's also, you know, stuff for your golf bags. And I mean, I've dug through some of this stuff and it is something else, but it sells. And I think I don't know what their vendor model is, if they like have a vendor who makes something for whoever orders it. And maybe that's how they're spending a profit. I'm not really sure, because I can't imagine like a bunch of those like fuzzy heads that you put on top of your golf clubs selling out. I don't know.
See, I'm all in favor of it. You know, I'm a big believer of, you know, there was that one hillbilly guy who here's your sign. I don't remember what his name was, comedian. You know, here's your sign. To me, that's the sign. You know, you're marking yourself. I now know everything I need to know about you.
It's true. And I mean, I think the first time around, whenever we did this, we sort of started talking about it, the red hats as being like the Starbelly Sneetches, you know, from Dr. Seuss, where, you know, they're just self-identifying. And, you know, I think in areas of the country where they're in the majority, that makes total sense. Around here, you're going to get booed.
And even in my area, I'm seeing a drop. I haven't seen a lot of Trump flags lately. I haven't seen a lot of those outward displays. Even some of the big monster trucks the stickers seem to be fading. And I got to tell you, I think the agenda that's being pushed, not very popular, even with the faithful. Who, you know, look, you're doing all the stuff to make those others uncomfortable. We're owning the libs. But there's a lot of stuff that's, well, hitting a little close to home.
Yeah, and this is the stuff that I was saying, you know, several weeks ago, where I was like, you really need people to take to the streets if they really want to enact change, if they really want to fight back. And finally, this is, you know, this is not just, you know, people marching. This is people showing up at town hall meetings and scaring the hell out of their elected officials. It's a lot. It reminds me a lot of what we saw with the Tea Party in 2010, when Barack Obama pushed through the Affordable Care Act and everybody was like up in arms about it. They were really furious, and you know, all of these people showed up at town halls. This is that same sort of thing. Before it was being co-opted, you know, it had been co-opted by the Koch brothers and whatnot. But yeah, like you're finally starting to see people in very Republican districts show up and be incredibly hacked off. You're seeing Democrats too. I think finally people are starting to approach Democrats and be like, what are you doing?
Right.
You're not doing anything.
No, look, the people that you're talking about are not Democratic voters. These are the red hats.
Yeah.
These are the Republican voters. These are the angry. And look, there's a reason to be angry, and I fully understand that. But these are the angry. These are the guys who, during that run up to the Affordable Care Act, were, get your government hands off my Medicare. Never mind, Medicare is a government program. But and I lived, you know, not more than 45 minutes from where that happened. But you know, these are those people who are the ones who, you know, who know where their pitchforks are, and I think that's why Republicans may be starting to pay a little bit of attention, because it's not Democrats who are getting beat up; it's Republicans who are getting beat up.
Yeah, I mean, you're getting Democrats are getting beat up from the left, asking why aren't you doing anything, a little bit, which I'm all for. But especially like what happened in Georgia, that was like the town hall where people were hacked off there. It was a Republican plus 22 district.
Yeah.
And, but it's not far from the CDC. So there are lots of people in that community who either work for the CDC or whose family works for the CDC. And now they don't have jobs because, again, like this is part of the slashing, the indiscriminate slashing of government where, you know, they come in with this idea of, oh, we're going to cut waste, fraud, and abuse, but then they never actually look for waste, fraud, and abuse. They just fire everybody and then assume that the waste, fraud, and abuse will go out with them. But
well, no, that everything's waste, fraud, and abuse. Look, understand, to these people, everything government does is waste, fraud, and abuse. Doesn't matter what it is. Doesn't matter what they do for we the people. It's all waste, fraud, and abuse because it's not privatized and it's not done for a profit, which is why this thing with Musk I find so amusing. You know, we just talked with an official with AFGE about Musk's comment that you have to come forth with, you know, with five, you know, justifications for your job. And those justifications aren't, hey, I helped Granny get Social Security, or I helped someone, you know, get benefits from the VA. No. This is about how I kicked Granny off of Medicare. This is how I got that disabled person disqualified from Medicaid. That's the kind of stuff they're looking for. And I think the more that this stuff happens, the more I hope people wake up.
And he's kind of given away the game a little bit, where I think it was on Valentine's Day, he tweeted something to the effect of, stop penalizing billionaires and making billionaires pay for all of your stuff.
Did he actually tweet that, or is that one of those gimmicky ones?
Oh, I don't know. It may have been one of those fake tweets.
But, you know, again, it's another one of those, you know, the Jay Gould quote of, I could pay half the working class to murder the other half. I've had his biographer, you know, come after me and say, there's nowhere where he actually said that. I go, but it sounds like something he'd say, right? And the answer is, yeah, it sounds like something any of those people in the robber baron era would have said. So, you know, this is that same kind of thing. You know, he may not have actually written it, but he meant it.
And I think the philosophy of basically tearing everyone else apart, whether they're Democrats or Republicans could come together and fight back against these robber barons. The more they're tearing people apart, the less likely we are to rise up as a society and fight back against people like Musk.
Always,
and that has always been part of the game.
Yeah. Now, it's interesting you brought up, what's going on there in Georgia and, the CDC and all of that stuff. Because, you know, heaven forbid, you know, we don't want, let's say, I don't know, a measles outbreak somewhere, maybe somewhere like, I don't know, like Texas, where evidently we've got a pretty good size one going on as we speak. Or as the meme I saw on social media, you know, not measles, freedom sores.
Oh my God, that's really terrible. That's really terrible. I guess start with measles, move on to leprosy. But yeah, this is what happens, right? This is, and it's not necessarily, you know, RFK Jr.'s fault. It's just that this measles outbreak.
Oh, I disagree.
Really started go.
I disagree.
Well, it just really started going once he, not like as HHS secretary. He just got sworn in.
No, but he has been the
anti-vaxxer mentality
for decades. Look, and I've told the story before. In 2002, when my daughter was born, he got me so freaked out that we were going to give my daughter autism because of the vaccines she was getting. And, you know, I spent hours reading. I read every bit of garbage that he put out. And then I went to my pediatrician and she's like, don't be stupid. And she said, you're smarter than this. And she then explained, you know, where, what he was talking about and how the Tamiflu that they put into these vaccines that they give to mice at a gazillion times what you would give any human. And it caused, you know, side effects in X amount of the mice, but none of the vaccines I was giving my child had any of this crap in it. And that he's just scaring the, you know what, out of people. And she goes, you know, I got a bunch of you first-time parents who are freaking out because of this. Stop it. Call me if you've got a question. And this is where I go back to. Fortunate to have doctors that I trust, people that I trust their profession and their expertise over some crackpot heroin brainworm moron who keeps selling nonsense like this stuff.
So interesting you talk about it. I had a nurse at my doctor's office who retired and moved to Hawaii, like you do when you're retiring and you are awesome. And she, I think she's still doing some medical stuff or at least volunteering. And she posted online on Facebook the other day, a screen capture of a website where she's allowed to log in and then can look up the most updated information about whatever medical issue she needs, to look up, and that whole website is gone. So, I mean, it's not just this idea of we're not going to fund the CDC. We're not going to fund, vaccine awareness. We're not going to fund studies that promote vaccine awareness. Now we're taking away the work that's already been done, the stuff that's just on the internet for free that people can use as legitimate resources. And I mean, again, like it is this, you know, it is a dumbing down of America, and it is a, you know, going after the world of science as part of making people stupider. And the stupider you are, the more likely you are to follow, you know, whatever people tell you.
No, ignorance is bliss. Like I said, I think I said this last week. You know, the good thing about RFK Jr. being part of the head of HHS and destroying all this stuff is at least what's going to kill us, what's coming that will kill us, we won't know what it is. And we'll be, oh, that happened. And we'll be gone before it matters. We won't have to worry about it. We won't have to fret about it. We won't have to argue over it. We won't have to wear masks or socially distance or, you know, take medicines. Maybe we'll go back to, you know, praying to the wind god or something. I don't know how far back this goes, but I think they're working on it.
I think they are too. And don't take my loss of my voice as an indication that we're all, you know, going to die soon. Luckily, I've only had COVID and the flu and everything else, you know, in the world. So I think for folks who, I mean, especially now, I think you're seeing something like 4 different viruses that are going around. Like one of them's neurovirus, flu, COVID. And I think they said that about the flu, that it's the lowest vaccine rate that they've had in years. And it's, I want to say like 30,000 people have died from the flu of all things. And most of them are elderly and infants.
Yeah.
So, you know, I don't know if it's starting to feel like they're just pouring bleach in the gene pool. I mean, some of these people. And I mean, it's tragic, and I don't know what kind of society we become whenever we deprioritize our health in that way.
Right. So for me, Sarah, the hope is, and again, I keep using this phrase, the solutions will come out of the suffering due to their savagery, as they're pushing this stuff. The hope is that the switch goes on in each one of us and goes, this isn't the country we want. These aren't the people that should be anywhere near the halls of power. We want to value intelligence. We want to value expertise. We want a government that acts in our best interest. And maybe that's the pendulum that will come back. It's like any action, there's an equal or greater reaction. The hope is that us snapping awake and going, hey, maybe we don't hate the others as much as we care about ourselves. Maybe this swings back.
And I think too, like this is, the idea of supporting government is a winning issue. One of the things that Hakeem Jeffries was talking about in one of his press conferences, I think maybe a week before last, was he was talking about how we're not going to, you know, swing at every pitch. But at the same time, I'm like, bro, you're not swinging at anything. So the rest of us are just like, can we do something? And I think they act like they weren't prepared for this.
They weren't.
And, but we went through all of 2024 hearing everything on Project 2025, and they were just like, here, this is what's going to happen, and none of them prepared for it.
Yeah.
You know, I just, that blows me away. So I feel like it gives the opportunity for people, for Americans who are really hacked off, to act and not be co-opted by any sort of, you know, large funder coming in and trying to turn them in, turn it into something. It genuinely is a grassroots effort on both sides.
That's why I've been saying, Sarah, look, I think Democrats should just leave Washington. Let Republicans do whatever they got to do. You got the keys. You got the votes. Yeah. You got the majority. You have all the committees. You got it all. You, good luck. We're going back into the districts. We're going to hold hearings. We're going to talk about all the horrible things you're doing. And with the red hats who are suffering, with your voters who are doing it, I would go into each one of their districts, and I would hold hearings on how their districts are suffering.
Yes. Oh, my God. That is the kind of thing that, you know, if Democrats really put money behind it and started doing those public hearings like that, God, that would be amazing.
That's
where you really get, you know, legitimate people who are in those districts, who are suffering, who are who can talk about their family and in a really compelling way.
That's how you get the guy going, get your government hands off my Medicare. There are education moments that come out of every one of those.
There are. But I think it also brings communities together.
Yep.
Where, I mean, one of the things about seeing all of these town halls is I think people are becoming more aware that this isn't just me. You know, this isn't just my community. This isn't just my family. This is happening all over the country. Yep. To everyone. And we really are all in this together.
There you go. It's that, to me, that simple. Finally, evidently, we've got a Department of Government Efficiency, right? We're talking about cutting. We got to cut the VA. We got to cut every department. We got to save money, Sarah. But Donald Trump wants a new Air Force, a new helicopter.
I am just so shocked that, I mean, I guess I shouldn't be.
A new,
right?
Air Force, like, One, new jet, new all. He wants all new stuff.
He just bought a new Air Force One. Remember, like, it was his turn whenever he decided, oh, we're going to do this new thing, and they brought it in during Biden's term. So it's not like it's that old. And I'm just like, the thing about this whole Doge deal is the budget plan that Trump has sort of brought in is going to just spend more and more money. So a lot of the members that we had talked to last week, who are the deficit hawk guys, are like, why am I spending more money while we're supposed to be trying to cut things?
Yeah.
You know? So,
need new stuff.
That's what's going to end up, I think, breaking the Republican Party in Congress is those deficit guys. They're not going to have the votes because Democrats are going to be a no and the deficit hawks are going to be a no. Good luck.
I still think the Democrats don't even go to Washington. Save the airfare. Yeah, use
great.
That airfare.
I love the public hearing.
Find a pet Republican and go to his district or her district. Hold hearings in their district. That's what I would do.
Yes, but adopt a Republican's district.
That's it. Adopt a Republican. There you go. Sarah, as always, great stuff. Appreciate it. Keep up the great work.
Thank you. Have an awesome week.
You as well. If you want to check out her amazing work, rawstory.com. Sarah Burris is her name. Check out that right back after this. Stick around. Stick around. You're listening to The Rick Smith Show. I'm Rick Smith, and this is Labor History in 2. On this day in labor history, the year was 1965. That was the day the Drug and Hospital Employees Union Local 1199 sent a telegram to President Lyndon Baines Johnson. The message declared the union's stand against U.S. involvement in the Vietnam War. They were the first union local to take an official stand against the war. However, it should not have surprised anyone that Local 1199 was willing to take such a public stand. From their founding, they have been deeply committed to broad social justice unionism. The union started in 1932 in New York City. In the beginning, their membership was mostly Jewish men working in drugstores. During their first decade, they led pickets for a living wage and against segregation. During the 1950s, they held organizing drives in the city's not-for-profit hospitals. This brought many African-American and Latino women into the union. These workers were often paid wages as low as $32 per week and worked extremely long hours. The union helped them win a $100 a week minimum wage. The union had become an important voice for workers in the city's nonprofit hospitals. Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. called Local 1199 the authentic conscience of the labor movement. The union expanded its organizing beyond New York in 1969. They helped organize a successful strike of hospital workers in Charleston, South Carolina. From there, they launched organizing campaigns of hospital workers in other states. Over the years, the union has stood in solidarity with Cesar Chavez and Dolores Huerta's efforts to organize farm workers. They opposed apartheid in South Africa. They were also an early opponent of the war in Iraq. Today, the local is affiliated with SEIU, the Service Employees International Union. Like what you hear? Check out more at laborhistoryin2.com.
You're listening to The Rick Smith Show, where working people come to talk.
So the reality is Democrats weren't prepared. They weren't prepared for losing in 2024. And they weren't prepared for what was coming, even though, and this is the weird thing, even though it was all written out in Project 2025. And look, we had been talking about it for months before it hit the mainstream media. You know, I had been talking about making patronage great again well before the mainstream and even the Democrats. And this is the reality of where, sadly, we are. We need people who are going to be a little more proactive, a little more visionary. And look, I'm not a huge fan of Mark Cuban. I think he's not wrong on a lot of things. And, you know, he kind of, this most recent comment he made about, you know, the Democrats not being able to sell is accurate. You know, this is the idea. I give you a dollar and you sell it for 50 cents and then go out and you hire a bunch of people to figure that out. This ain't that difficult. Not everything has to be consultant tested. Not everything has to be, well, I better check with the polling data. Get out there, roll up the sleeves and start fighting back. Now, here's my idea, and it's very simple. Adopt a Republican. Every member of Congress should adopt a Republican. And then you go to their district and you hold a hearing. There's a Democratic Party in their district. Hold a hearing. Hold it to the general public. Bring the red hat folk on. Let them scream. Let them holler. Ask them, what's the solution? Are you happy with what they're doing? Are you happy with Trump and Doge and Musk and your member of Congress? Are you thrilled that the price of eggs have never been higher? Are you thrilled that the lies that you bought, none of the things you wanted came true? Is this, are you okay with this? And I say, you know, concede, you lost. They're going to run whatever they need to run in D.C. Democrats can't stop it. Can't do anything. There's no loyal opposition. Get out in the districts, roll up the sleeves, show up with, you know, a Carhartt jacket on, borrow one if you have to, and talk to working people. That's what's going to get you attention. You need those moments where people are screaming and hollering at you. You need those moments where you're Arlen Specter in the face of a guy saying, you get your government hands off my Medicare, because there's a learning opportunity. There's an opportunity to go, hold on, like Specter did. Wasn't a huge Arlen Specter fan, but he understood you had to get out there and talk to people. This is what Democrats have to do. Enough of the, well, let's hold press conferences at the steps. No. You get out there and you mix it up. You get out there with a vision, with an idea. I like Chris Murphy. I like what he's doing. I like what a couple of people are doing. But you got to get out there. You got to roll up those sleeves, ball up those digits, take some on the chin, but get back up. That's what Democrats need to do. Want to hear your thoughts? Email me, Rick at the RickSmithShow.com. Miss any portion of the program? Podcast, as always. Thanks for being here. We'll see you back here next time.
You've been listening to The Rick Smith Show. Email Rick. Rick@RickSmithShow.com. Until next time, this has been The Rick Smith Show, where working people come to talk.
This is News from the Center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center, and always on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Dave Packer. We're now closing in on Elon Musk's deadline to some 2 million federal workers told to email 5 things they accomplished last week or else.
The email has sparked widespread confusion and angst across the federal government, with several agency heads contradicting Elon Musk, telling workers not to comply with the directive. Musk, on his X account, says those who don't take the email seriously will, quote, soon be furthering their career elsewhere.
ABC's Stephen Portnoy tonight, Musk posting on X that federal employees will be given another chance to reply to the email, and this time, those who do not will be terminated. On the third anniversary of Russia's invasion of Ukraine, President Trump today saying he believes the war could come to an end in a matter of weeks. Court documents filed today say former New York attorney and Trump lawyer Rudy Giuliani has fully satisfied the $148 million judgment against him. The judgment was tied to two Fulton County election workers Giuliani defamed following the 2020 election. This is ABC News. John Diddy Combs' attorneys in a new court filing seeking to suppress evidence in his sex trafficking case.